Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. You're in Wild Card Wednesday. And that is any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for that. Coming up, we are going to be... We're going to be speaking with Melanie Lenz, who at 22 years old became one of the youngest female Secret Service agents. And we're going to talk about her experience doing that. And, you know, since everybody has been talking about President H.W. Bush, we want to get some perspective from her point of view. It's a fascinating story. She's been on the show before, and she's terrific. And we'll get to her after the 1:30 news. So there you go. What you just heard was Great Moments in Vinyl, and they're going to be performing. That's rehearsal audio from Great Moments in Vinyl, and they're performing Harmony there, and they're going to be paying tribute to Elton John this Saturday, December 8th, at Gallery 1070's Auxiliary Space, which is at 1101 West Granville in Chicago. Lindsey Cochran is the guy who puts this together, and we have them on every time to talk about it. What he does is he gathers a bunch of great musicians. They pay tribute to an artist, and that's what they're doing on this Saturday. And we've got Greg Woods with us, too, from Great Moments in Vinyl. He's a musician. We're going to get to him in a minute, but let's welcome Lindsey first to the show. Lindsey, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very excited about this one. Tell everybody about, first of all, tell everybody about Great Moments in Vinyl.
The best way to describe what we do is we're a collection of music fans, pure and simple. You know that feeling you get when you hear a song that resonates with you, you just make you want to get up and dance or punch the air or whatever. You just want to share that excitement with somebody. So that's us. But instead of making mixtapes for our friends or inviting people over for a listening party, we put together a band and play the albums we love live. And in this case, it's the double record set, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Right. Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And there's also stories in between. You do some research, and you talk about some of the influences, and you tell really terrific stories in between the songs, and it makes it a different kind of experience.
Absolutely. And with a guy like Elton John, there are no shortage of stories. I mean, between him and Bernie Taupin and the band and just all the different things he's gotten into and the influences. For example, this album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, it seems to me, if I recall, they put the album together, believe it or not, in about 18 days.
Insane.
You know, artists go into the studio now, it might take 2 years to put together an album. Elton had a contract back then where he had to put out 2 albums a year. And so he was just pumping through the material, and the guys, they were just on form. They were on fire. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to do this music. And a lot of times, Elton would go in the studio and record his part, and then he'd go off shopping in Paris or someplace like that, and the rest of the band would lay down the harmonies and figure out how the rest of the song went.
Yeah. It's crazy that it was that short period of time to put this record together, which has gone on to become, you know, a major classic.
Oh, my God. Here's a story for you. How universal is Goodbye Yellow Brick Road? I was telling Greg Woods, the fellow who's going to be, we'll be talking to in a moment, but he's the lead singer and main pianist for this show. I was saying to Greg, I can remember being at a huge party back in high school, and they were playing this album. And Greg, who's at least 30 years younger than I am, said, I can remember being at a party back in high school, and they were playing this album.
Yeah. This was back at I think, the height of... Of Elton John's talent.
No question.
That
I mean, all the things had come together for him in his career, and the drugs had not kicked in yet. I mean, there's a great story about how he basically had not discovered drugs yet. You know, maybe they were doing a little drinking, but all the cocaine and all the other stuff that led to his having to go to rehab, and that came with the next album, Caribou and Rock of the Westies. But on Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, it was just adrenaline and momentum, I think he said. You know, they were on a roll. They'd come off of Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player with Crocodile Rock and Daniel as huge hits, and that came off of Honky Chateau with the title track and Rocket Man. So when they went into the studio, they were just going to do a single record, but there was just so much material that got generated. Out came Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, and everybody's happy for it. So you guys are going to be at the Gallery 1070's Auxiliary Space on Granville, and you guys played this just this past summer, right at the Edgewater Arts Festival.
Absolutely, the folks who were doing the promotion of that event also had us in for an after party at Gallery 1070. It's an art gallery there at Granville, and I forget the cross street, but it's a couple of streets west of Sheridan Road. And so kitty corner to that is a former little storefront supermarket, and they have access to that space, and they've cleaned it up. They've put in some nice lights, and there's going to be chairs there and a bar for beer, wine, and soft drinks, and that's all part of the ticket price.
All right, sounds great. Now, one of the musicians that you have in this incarnation of Great Moments in Vinyl is Greg Woods. Greg's never been on the show before. This is the first time, so let's welcome Greg to the show. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, 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 good. Now, you're a native of Chicago, right? You're from Chicagoland?
I grew up in Naperville, yeah.
Yeah, all right, cool. And when did you get into music, Greg?
I started very young. I was like 4 years old when I picked up the piano, but I come from a very musical family, so it was sort of obvious.
Oh, so that's where it all started. Yeah.
Yeah, my grandpa's a piano player, still to this day at 93, sort of plays circles around me.
Wow, that's amazing. Oh, yeah. That's amazing. So did you actually take lessons, or was it just part of the family thing?
Well, it's kind of a fun story, actually. My brother, you know, we were required to take piano lessons because my grandpa and all of that. But they had my older brother, who was 7, in taking piano lessons. And I would sit in the back corner of the room and watch him practice with the obligatory 30 minutes with my dad. And then as soon as he was done, he'd run outside, you know, enjoy being a child, and I would subsequently run over to the piano and sort of practice what he was supposed to be practicing. So I got into lessons when I was like 4, but then they got kind of boring to me pretty quick. So I picked up a little cover band in junior high and quit piano lessons. You know.
Yeah. All right. And is keyboards and piano that is your main go-to instrument?
Well, I got my degree in voice at Millikan University, so I like to think that I'm cross-disciplined between the two of them, and that songwriting is actually my strong suit.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, let me ask you about your first memories of Elton John, and maybe in particular this record.
Yeah, sure. Elton is big for me. When I quit piano lessons, I ended up just learning tunes to play with my band, or learning tunes that I liked, of course, as any young musician would. And as a piano player, not exactly pursuing classical music or jazz, Elton John was pretty obvious to me. So I picked up an Elton John anthology book when I was just sort of tearing through sheet music and learning how to read and learning how to interpret ink on page. And this record became very, very, very apparent because it was one of those that, you'd heard half the tunes in it in a big way. You'd heard them everywhere in shops and at restaurants and all of that. But then you find the other tunes in it and you realize that there's some of the real gems of his catalog and that these B-cuts are much lesser known, but he wrote so well. They wrote so well, he and Bernie.
Yeah.
And I think it really blew it open for me, realizing what that record was kind of capable of, having all those hits and having also all of that artistic content, you know.
Mm-hmm. And now what were you listening to a lot? What were some of the other artists that were influential to you that you really loved when you were growing up and soaking it all in as a musician?
Yeah, so my dad's a headbanger, so he loves Led Zeppelin. The first record I ever owned was actually Paranoid by Black Sabbath, because my dad decided to wrap it up poorly, pick it up at Best Buy or something, and throw it at the edge of the tree, and I found it.
You know, that's really,
gift. He's like,
Greg,
yeah, you should have it.
Greg, that's really funny, because the first album that I ever bought with my own allowance and money was Black Sabbath Paranoid.
You know what's even funnier about that?
Mm.
I couldn't have gone further away from that with the first album I bought with my own money. It was Spice World.
That's great. That's great.
All music has merit, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool. That's really cool. Now, tell me about your own music now. And you have an actual vinyl release party coming up at the Filament Theater up in Portage Park. That's my neck of the woods. Tell me a little bit about your own music.
Yeah, that's it. That's on January 18th, and my friends at the Filament are wonderful. I company for some of their theater stuff, and they do really, really cool stuff for children's theater. It's really innovative, and I'm really proud of them. But we're excited to do that show. I just got off a tour promoting my record that I actually dropped about a year ago, but we're promoting the vinyl release, and we'll be touring a lot next year. It's a record called Hello, Goodbye, and Later On. I wrote all the music on it. I did two EPs, one in Chicago and one in Nashville, and I sort of wrote them with the intention to sound like the towns to some degree. And I had a really great opportunity to work with some close friends down in Nashville, my friend Mitch Crane at Pentavariate Studios, and up in Chicago, my friend Noam Wallenberg, Rax Tracks, and Ben Joseph as well. A lot of names, obviously. But I'm really excited about it. I think it sort of spans a lot of different musical styles, which is sort of my styles to just try and lean into what the song wants to be and not focus too hard on what it sounds like.
There you go. So that's Hello, Goodbye, and Later On. If people want to pick it up, the vinyl release party is at the Filament Theater on Milwaukee Avenue in Portage Park, and that's on January 18th. Cool. Hey, Lindsay.
Yeah, and it's up on all digital platforms. Sorry,
oh, cool. Cool. You guys have a web? What, you have? Do you have a website people can go to?
We're working on the website, but you can find me on all social media platforms at Greg Woods Music, and it's on Spotify, Greg Woods, YouTube, all the anywhere you get music digitally.
Very cool. Cool. All right, Lindsay, who else is in the band besides Greg for the Great Moments in Vinyl Elton John tribute?
Well, one person you met before is Scott Tipping, who plays all the Davy Johnson guitar. He's going to be rocking it out on Saturday Night's All Right and songs like that. All the Young Girls Love Alice. We got Jonathan Reed on drums. He was a drummer when we did Physical Graffiti, when we did Jimi Hendrix, also when we recently did the David Bowie show, and Fleetwood Mac, he was our drummer. And then Jim Ryan, who played keyboards for us for Pink Floyd and a Rolling Stones set, he's joining us on this one because just one piano is not enough if it's an Elton John song. You've got other textures going on in the background, too. So it's a band of five.
Okay. Yeah,
and myself on bass,
and yourself on bass, and that's well. That sounds great. I'm sure you guys are gonna do so. Do you have a story that you can tell us that you might tell about the making of this album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road?
Well, here's a nice little overview. Goodbye Yellow Brick Road seems to me to be a journey. I mean, Elton and Bernie said they didn't really have a concept in mind when they put it together, but it fits together that way. I mean, it starts off with a funeral and the end of a love affair. And then there are songs about fame and what it did to Marilyn and what it was doing for Benny. And then there's songs about people in the margins, prostitutes and the sailors who call on them, a moonshiner in Kentucky, a teenage girl and her lesbian lovers, a British hooligan who loves to have a bit of fun on a Saturday night. But when all the little vignettes come to a close, we take Bernie Taupin's cue and go riding off into the sunset with Roy Rogers. So it starts with a funeral and the end of a love affair, but when we reach the final chords of the album, we discover that Harmony and me, we're pretty good company. Can you ask for anything more than that? And you know, what makes me think of Elton John, as I tell you that, is that after a tumultuous life of his own, filled with ups and downs, where do we find him? Retiring from the road.
Yeah.
Staying at home with his husband to raise his two kids. A happy ending, just like in The Wizard of Oz. So yes, goodbye Yellow Brick Road, because there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Lindsay telling great stories. All right, before we let you go, Greg, you already answered. Whenever I have musicians on the show, I always ask them two questions. One is, what was the first album you ever bought? You already answered that one. Now, what was the first concert you ever saw?
This is a good one. Like I said, my dad's a headbanger, and I already mentioned Led Zeppelin. So first one I ever saw that was memorable, at least, was I actually went to what was then called the Tweeter Center with my dad and my older brother, and we went and saw The Who, and there's a good story behind this, but The Who with opening act Robert Plant and the Honey Drippers.
Oh, wow.
But the best thing about this, the craziest thing about this, is I was forecaddying. I was like 10 years old. I was forecaddying at my dad's golf outing out at White Eagle, and that night, we hear that John Entwistle, the bassist for The Who, had passed away mid-tour. So my dad pulls me and my brother out to the car in the parking lot, leaves all his friends, and tells us, John Entwistle died. You need to register this moment because my dad's just like loves the rock and roll icon.
Right.
And then I found out like a week later that this guy named Pino Palladino would be playing the show.
Yes.
And if you run in any musical circles, he's pretty heavy water.
Oh yeah.
So I got to see Pino play with The Who and Robert Plant and Honey Drippers.
That's a great. That's a great. Great first show. Great first show.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Mm-hmm. Listen, have a great time doing the Elton John tribute. Again, it's this Saturday, December 8th. It's at Gallery 1070's Auxiliary Space at 1101 West Granville in Chicago. Tickets are $25. That includes two drinks from a selection of beer, wine, or non-alcoholic beverages. The 7 o'clock opening act is Acres to Miles, and Great Moments in Vinyl will begin at 8. Greg, nice to meet you. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Nice to meet you as well.
You too. Lindsay, always a pleasure, my friend.
All the best.
Okay, take care. There you go. Lindsay Cochran and Greg Woods from Great Moments in Vinyl. You can check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page, and check out their Elton John tribute this Saturday at Gallery 1070's Auxiliary Space. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next on WGN.